This is RTI, from the heart of Europe to the world, the station of the stars.
EW to his friends, Eric Wiltshire.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Pop Rap Boys and Girls with a very different panel this week. And I'm going to do this incredibly quickly because of the last piece that we did in part one. Lee Banks, Henry O'Donovan, Mark Gander, Rachel Brunswick. And me, Eric Wiltshire.
You're not a very nice man.
Thank you very much indeed.
And also, it's Rachel Brunson, by the way, not Rachel Brunswick.
Oh, Brunson. Oh, God.
He gets everything wrong, Henry.
I do.
I'm not wrong. We don't get it wrong on Bondi Tunes, do we?
No, never. Never, never.
No, no. No, I am the Les Dawson of radio, playing out of tune all the time. Lamb of God singer Randy Blythe has been charged over a fan's death. How stupid is this? The frontman of the metal band from the US has been charged over a fan dying who jumped on the stage in Prague in 2010. Well, the stupid boy shouldn't have jumped on the stage, should he?
Well, I'm not sure you can say that at all. That is part of rock and roll and has been for the last 50 years. It started with the Teddy Boys and it's continued today. People run onto the stage. Stars invite people onto the stage. I saw Edgar Broughton's big band invite everybody onto the stage and the stage collapsed. It's just part of rock and roll. Unfortunately, like Altamont with the Rolling Stones, there was a tragedy ensued.
I agree with that bit, but it's surely the fault of the fan that jumped on the stage.
Well, it depends. I can see what you're saying. It depends if he was actually invited to jump on the stage. You've seen bouncers at rock and roll concerts who treat the audience like my last time I went to one about a year ago. Mm. I actually one of a friend of mine, his son was with us, who was 17, and was actually manhandled, not in the Jimmy Savile way, by the bouncers, yeah. Right? And
it's a new term.
Jimmy Savile, right?
Have you been savilled?
Have you been savilled? Very good.
But I actually threatened the bouncer myself, and I got chucked out.
Well, that's a good thing.
But I threatened the bouncer because of the aggressive way he was treating somebody at a rock and roll concert where this lad had paid good money to go to it.
Let me just get in a nice little story here. Nothing particularly big, you understand. But when I was sitting on the stage with Deep Purple.
Oh, no! Henry, save me!
Hang on, what's that on the floor? Oh, it's a name. It's a name. He's dropped a name. I'll pick it up.
And I was talking to my mate Ian Gillan.
He's done it again.
Between the stage and the fans, there was a gap of about 2 metres with big sort of fancy things that you couldn't jump over, and people were told before you start, you don't come on the stage, unless your name's Eric. And that's what happened.
So 50 Erics rushed the stage.
It was like Brutus again. Is that the name of your dog?
Mark.
Yep.
Help me out, please.
You're on your own, I'm thinking, on that one.
Oh, what?
My name is Spartacus.
Yeah. Okay, so everybody thinks it's...
Spartacus.
Everybody thinks it's right. Okay, what about... We'll try this one. Starbucks, the infamous coffee company where people are not happy in the UK at the moment because they have not been paying corporation tax. Now, Mr. Enskov, the managing director of Starbucks, sent loads of radio people, including us, a nice big letter about what's going on and how they're all going to be wonderful and all they're going to help. And furthermore, he says, and I quote, Starbucks will commit to paying a significant amount of tax during 2013 and 2014, regardless of the company's profitability in those years.
I'd like to decide how much tax I pay as well.
Well, exactly.
Yeah, here's a top tip for the ladies and gentlemen. Just before we move on, Rachel and Henry, we do top tips all the time. Here's one, right? Go into your nearest Starbucks, right? Order a drink and then refuse to pay the VAT and see how they like it.
Well, that's true.
Good idea.
Mark, get in here. What's all this thing about not paying tax then?
Well, it's nice, isn't it, really? I mean,
why do we think Mark should know about that?
I'm saying nothing.
Listen, I mean, they've
about
made
your tax affairs.
They've made this gesture. Starbucks seems to have made this gesture to pay tax, and of course, it's in a way, it's backfired upon them because they were expecting everybody to say, "Well, this is a great gesture. You're voluntarily paying money to the Treasury." But in fact, I think that the sentiment that's just been mentioned by Lee, that I'd like to pay my own tax, you know, or choose my own tax, is being echoed. Why on earth they have the choice? And I don't understand what everybody's going on about. I mean, we've now got people turning around to Google and Amazon and saying, hope they'll follow the moral imperative that's been set by Starbucks. Look, there are loopholes in this law. So what's wrong with the Treasury going along, with Parliament going along and changing the rules? That's what they do with all the little people who try to avoid taxing some kind of automobiles.
Mark,
why aren't they doing it with these companies?
One problem. The European Union.
And they're also in bed with all the big companies.
The European Union is what the rules are. Which kind of
in that case, what's wrong with putting on a moral imperative and forcing people really through shame?
So, come on, Rachel and Henry, down under, do you have similar stories of companies having offshore tax havens and not paying the tax and everybody getting upset about it?
Of course,
Henry?
Of course. Many, 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 many companies are doing that. It doesn't make any
sense. Just a second, Henry.
Like
did you notice how Rachel ducked that one completely?
Yes, I did notice that. Yes.
You did? Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay. Just making sure.
The thing is, look. The thing is, this is inherent all over the world. Tax havens, of course, and big companies do it. The thing about Australia and the difference between Britain and Australia is that the Australians don't care. I mean, they really don't. You've got to remember, Australia is a place where the government tells the people, it's a nanny state, that they tell the people what to do in this country, and the people go, oh, okay, and they do it. Really, this is the way it is here. They don't question things. Things don't get thrown up in the air like they do, especially in France, and to a lesser extent, Britain. Australians just go, oh, this is what I've been told to do, I'll do it. And there are heaps of companies here, including Starbucks, of course. I don't know if they're avoiding tax in this country, but many companies are, and it's rife in Australia. The only difference between Britain and Australia in this regard is that the Australians don't complain about it. They just think, well, you know, we've got no control, and that's it. Julie Gillard runs our country, and
hang on a minute.
We're a very apathetic nation, so we sort of go, yeah, she'll be right.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah. Your Prime Minister is Welsh, for goodness sake.
She's
yes, apparently.
From the island of Barry.
She's also from the country of Moronia. What's she going to do?
Yeah, exactly. Stupidity of the Week award goes to our friend, the dopey smoker. A cannabis grower was caught because he was so outraged when his plants were stolen that he called 999 to report it to the police.
And so it should. If somebody comes and nicks your stash.
Matthew Ward.
I think that shows that, you know, the British respect for, and if you like, the implicit trust in the justice system that we have in this country, I think it's great. I think it's excellent, and I salute Matthew Warnes.
Funny if the police turned up with a big bag of Doritos.
Yeah. Or marshmallows, yeah, I know. The 29-year-old has spent £250 of his Christmas money on growing equipment, which he bought from eBay because he was finding it too expensive to buy the Class B drug on the street. So he grew his own, and now he's been arrested.
Where's he in? Where's he living?
Rotherham.
Rotherham?
Do you need to get a bus there?
Yes. I've got to tell you. They found a huge forest, almost, of cannabis being grown in Slovakia. And here, the rules on... There's no personal usage rules. If you get caught with drugs, you're in prison. End of. Yeah. So what did the police do? They decided to burn the forest of cannabis. Very logical. The trouble is, they told everybody when they were going to burn it on national television.
can I tell you what? I used to fly gliders once upon a time, and it was always wonderful about sort of August, September, because the local farmers would tell you when they're going to burn their stubble fields, and then you'd take off and hover over the stubble fields, and I can tell you, you put on about 3,000 foot in height within minutes.
That's what fantastic. You call getting high, isn't it?
Absolutely, I can imagine. You know, it's a shame they didn't let the local gliding club know about this.
Here in Australia, here in Bondi, actually, they've got helicopters that fly over here at 2 in the morning on a Saturday night, and they've got these massive sort of beams of light coming out of this helicopter onto people's back gardens in Bondi, which is in the eastern suburbs of Sydney, and certainly not people aren't growing acres of the stuff around here. There just isn't the room. They should be out in the western suburbs of Sydney or in the country looking for this.
Where but everyone gets shot.
I have a distinct feeling. There's a sort of feeling of I've been there and done it coming from Henry right now. I've got this vision of the light coming down from the police station. Henry standing there with his arms in the air and going, I give up. It's kind of that feeling I'm getting. Anyway, Charlie Brooks.
Wait.
What?
I've got to tell you a story. This is a real true McCoy news story.
I apologise to everybody because this programme's going to get on to part three soon.
The British are bonkers, right? There is a bloke, a builder in, and I forgot where, I don't know if I've got the story with me, but last week he wanted to build a house in the back garden of his home.
House there. He was going to build it out of cannabis?
No! Oh. This is a serious news programme. Oh. Stop being so childish!
Oh.
Right? So, he's gone for planning permission to build a house in his back garden, right?
Yes.
And the council said that because of the area it was in and et cetera, that he could only use it as a building which would be used for recreational purposes. So this bloke turned it into a cannabis farm. Now, last week, he got arrested as well.
That's barking.
That is barking.
But it's true.
Never mind. Staying connected to Oz for a minute, Charlie Brooks.
Will she?
Yeah, well, how did you know it was a she? Because I thought it was a he.
No,
that's
Charlie.
That's because you don't know anything about Charlie, considering what we've been talking about.
It's a very good. Charlie Brooks is from the only soap opera worth watching in the UK called EastEnders. Called EastEnders. Do you get EastEnders down in Oz?
Yeah, we
used
do
to.
On, cable.
We do we on cable? Oh.
Yeah, it on used, you know what? TV.
You know what I thought was really funny back in the '80s?
Hang on, we're off again.
Sorry,
I want to know. I want to know
what.
I want to hear what Henry's saying.
Back in the 80s, when Neighbours was doing really well on BBC One, broadcast at 1:30 in the afternoon, repeated at 5:30, Kylie went on the Wogan
Kylie?
Show. Kylie and Terry Wogan was interviewing Kylie, yeah. And he said, "I believe that you know EastEnders is broadcast in Australia." At the time, there was no cable TV, and Kylie said, "Yes, but it's only on the ABC. No one watches that." It was remarkable because the ABC is a national broadcaster here, and it was like, you know, no one cares about the ABC.
That was the old people's channel.
It was
just the old people's channel.
But the difference, you see, the difference is in the UK, the BBC commands a massive percentage of the audience, whereas the ABC is right at the bottom as against Channel 10, 9 or 7. So what she was saying was, you know, it's only the ABC. So, yes, EastEnders is here, you know, in Australia, but no one's really watching it.
We have the same problem in Slovakia. The commercial TV channels take the vast majority of the audience, and the state broadcaster, because they don't have to worry about it, they get paid anyway. Their programmes are for dead people mainly.
For Dave Brubeck and Dame Murdoch.
That's the ones. So anyway, getting back to the plot, Charlie Brooks is an actress, and she's been crowned Queen of the Jungle.
It's pathetic. How could she be queen? crowned Queen of the Jungle when we had Ellen Flanagan in it. That beautiful, gorgeous Mancunian chick.
Who?
Ellen Flanagan. That beautiful,
who?
Gorgeous Mancunian chick.
Well, anyway, Charlie Brooks beat off the US pop star Ashley Roberts, formerly from the Pussycat Dolls.
She's nice. Now she's worth a bit of a...
Oh, I give up.
Celebrity get it out.
Well, oh, actually, she can put her legs where they have no business being.
Where's that?
tell us where that is.
She can stand... Well, she's standing straight up. She can put one leg directly above her, like she's showing the time 12:30 or 6 o'clock or something.
Well, that's all right. It's, if you're on the boss.
When you said she can do it, I thought you were saying you were giving her permission.
Careful there, Mark. You're digging yourself a hole.
Well, everyone has permission to do whatever they like.
Absolutely. Well, anyway, estimates of this and the reason why these celebrities go in this show, the current estimates from all the marketing people I've spoken to are that Charlie Brooks will make roughly £5 million in the coming year from sponsorship deals because she's the Queen of the Jungle.
No.
That's madness. And all she had to do was eat what? A widgety grub or something?
Oh, no! I couldn't do that!
What? You couldn't eat what? What couldn't you put in your mouth?
For 5 million quid? Blow me.
I'd get in my mouth.
I might do 5 million quid. Yeah, okay. Going down to Italy now, it would appear every journalist's dream has come true. The Bunga Bunga parties are on the way back because the former Italian Prime Minister... Silvio Berlusconi has decided that he's going to run for office again next year.
Hey.
Oh, what a surprise. And you know what? He didn't go to jail. What's going on with that?
Yeah, but you see, what you've got to remember is if he becomes Prime Minister again, then he can't be done for anything because he made that illegal.
And not only that, he can pass new laws to make sure that when he leaves office, that those things stay illegal because that's not what's happened at the moment.
Exactement.
Really, what a slight on the whole reputation of Italy this whole business is. And
you can't really slight the reputation of Italy, can you?
Oh, no, you can. No, you.
Well,
you
no, really. That's true. Well, they do build special tanks, you know.
They do.
They do.
They do. Yeah. To hide in when there's another war.
No. No, they've got special technology in their tanks.
Oh, go on. Really?
One forward gear, four backwards gears.
Oh, right.
I'll tell you what, there was a news story came out yesterday, though, about Berlusconi, and that will say that Berlusconi once visited the Virgin Islands, and now this is called the Islands.
I knew that was coming. That was so obvious. This is the comparison between America and the United Kingdom. The US has a whopping great Silicon Valley, and the UK has... And the UK has a Silicon Roundabout.
Huh? I know that was my headline, ladies and gentlemen. Don't let him steal it off me.
But there again, I'm going to change tack now, like Mark did, and defend the Silicon Roundabout.
Well, I've been
tell
to Silicon
tell
Valley.
Us about
I've
this.
I'm a fan of Silicon Valley, actually, myself.
What is Silicon Roundabout? I'm intrigued.
It's a
roundabout in Britain where the whole of the technology is now focused.
Yes.
Oh, right.
It is creating...
It's a roundabout.
It is
creating... So it's got Google.
It is creating hundreds and hundreds of jobs. It's got Messrs. Google. Very recently, a brand new tech centre was opened by Microsoft, which some of my colleagues went there. I didn't go. But anyway, I've met Steve before, so why should I worry?
Rachel, can you pick up that name?
Yeah.
It's Balmore.
I'm getting a bucket for all the names.
It's called Balmore. Nice bloke. And there's this old rundown bit of East London, which they've turned into this amazing technology centre where young people, so it doesn't apply to Lee, where young people can go and see venture capitalists and get money for jobs, money for businesses, all sorts of things like that. All the experts for new media, not AM radio, are there. And, you know, the whole thing is a new world. And yet
it's a roundabout!
It's not a roundabout.
It's a little roundabout where they've managed to get some little bit of land. They've got some tents on it, Rachel, and they've got like some sheds and all these people in the slippers and stuff shuffling in the morning. and go and play with Silicon. Silicon Valley is the most impressive place. Not the most impressive place I've ever been. But what a phenomenal view as you fly over whatever those mountains are called and you start to descend on it. Incredible. That's how technology should be presented. Right. Not by a little roadside greasy spoon cafe where you go and get your cheese and pickle sandwiches and pretend you're a scientist.
Talking of sandwiches, before we started the programme, Mark was eating a cheese sandwich, and I suggested to him that would fit in beautifully into the programme later on.
It should have fitted in beautifully in his gob and it shouldn't have spoken.
It's just sitting here getting style, actually.
Is it getting style?
It has. It's got huge, crisp onions in it.
See, oh, no. God. I pay attention.
Yeah. Yeah, I can smell them. Anyway, cheese sandwich for $1.5 billion, anybody?
Can I just say that there stands a man, i.e. Mark, who does not expect to have sex today.
A team of former NASA executives have come up with this private venture idea to send people to the moon. It's only going to cost you $1.5 billion to go. Would you go?
Yeah, I'll go three times for that.
Right.
Would you go, Mark? Mark, would you go?
Oh, I mean, I'd love to go, but I
let's all club together, what? Ladies and gentlemen, and get him over there.
Well, it's not $1.5 billion per ticket, is it? It's the whole project.
I thought, it's a ticket.
I thought it was a ticket.
No, it's the whole project. I think they're then going to try and sort of sell tickets for, I don't know, £100,000. I mean, a lot of money, but, you know.
Oh, £100,000.
Is that right, really? I'm going to reread this story now.
I'm going to reread the story as well.
I think for a price that is definitely out of this world.
Oh, I think they have to get there themselves first. You know,
well, you have to get to the moon first by yourself.
No, I think they have to work out how to get to the moon.
Do they?
I should
eat Mark's onion sandwich.
Exactly. They'll get them there. Vroom. Apparently, in France, for everybody that's got a running order, we're on page 7. For everybody in France is struggling a bit because the sperm count in France has fallen by a third.
All over the floor.
It's because of the onions!
It's not. It's because, first of all, they don't eat enough witchetty grubs. I think that's probably part of it. Just for a bit of continuity there. And of course, they don't have that problem in Australia, do they, guys? Because lots of witchetty grubs around. I mean, that's absolutely fantastic. I think that actually the real thing is here that the French sperm is just too lazy to come out. They only do 35 hours a week, you know, when they can be bothered.
Well, they can't make it up the hill for all the smoking they do.
But that's true.
You're right. The smoking here, Rachel, is phenomenal. I mean, it is shocking.
Are you in France?
I am in France.
I didn't know you were in France.
Oh, yeah, Mark's in France. Sorry. Did I not say that?
The sperm there probably go on strike. And
they
that's
have gone on strike. That's exactly right. Yeah. I think the sperm has gone on strike.
Images of sperm holding placards now. I'm going to have nightmares.
Well, you're going to land it to the French then, haven't you?
Anyway, he says, can you remember the gift you received last Christmas? Because according to some research that's just come out today, What?
I received the gift of life last Christmas.
The gift of life?
Gift of life.
Oh, I didn't. I just sort of had a dramatic moment. Sorry, carry on.
It was beautiful.
Yeah, it was just so good. I don't know what to say. Anyway, obviously this is a bit of PR for a company called bestexperiences.co.uk who want to sell you flying and motor planes and motorboats and all the rest of it. But apparently nobody could remember what they got last Christmas from their partner. We're going to try some market research again. And we'll start with Rachel. Rachel, what did your partner buy you last year, if you can say on the radio?
I got cookbooks, lots of cookbooks.
Oh, really?
And I also got plenty of medication because I'm a bit...
What? You got medication for Christmas present?
Yes. Some of it's quite expensive.
Oh.
If you whistle like that, it sounds like you got thrush.
Well, I wasn't going to say, but, you know.
Mark, can you remember?
I didn't get anything, I can tell you, and it's not because I've forgotten. I just didn't get anything.
Oh.
That's because you scurred from the sperm council.
Lee?
What?
I'm waiting for this.
I thought I was in trouble.
You
what
are.
Did I get off? Well, actually, no, to be honest, I remember I was very disappointed with my Christmas present last year, and I don't mind Andrea knowing it as she's sitting here in the studio listening to us at the moment.
Right.
Maybe she had a headache.
No, she don't. That is so cheap. That's as bad as my thrush joke, really.
You could give her an aspirin for her Christmas present.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. Very good, Mark.
I wanted a Ferris Bueller jacket.
What?
A Ferris Bueller jacket. You know, one of those.
Yes, I know the one you mean. Yes.
Yeah. Well, it was really stylish one. It was like a shooting jacket. It came down to, like, mid-thigh and stuff like that. And it got a black sort of collar and fawn inserts in it. She brought me a brown and black leather jacket.
It's probably more in keeping with your age, dear.
She's going to say, it's going to hit you over the head if you're not careful.
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody of any age should ever found me one of those.
Henry?
Oh, we don't buy presents for each other.
You skinflint. You skinflint.
No, look, the thing is, we just think that to love each other is a present every day.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to be sick.
I'm going to throw up.
I've got the gift of life, ladies and gentlemen. If he's doing that, I'm going back to that.
Well, anyway, I kind of got option one in their top five, which should be a new car or a romantic holiday. Because I got a nice radio-controlled Ferrari for my Christmas present last year. I did.
Basically, you got a big pair of speakers.
I already got this year's Christmas present.
You got it already?
Why?
I got it early because my lovely fiance Rob he couldn't hold on to it anymore. He was about to explode with excitement.
Be careful of your words there.
What I got? What? I got the brand new iPad mini. I keep saying that.
Oh, you got a mini iPad
mini.
All right.
Don't try driving it.
Never mind. Anyway, he moves
on. Why don't you come over here and meet a man who'll give you an iPad Maxi?
Ooh la la.
Yeah, but there's no sperm involved.
Oh, dear. I'm never going to get to my favourite story.
That's a typical Australian. Is always satisfied with a mini. I suppose they've got no choice, really.
Oh, God. Paul McCartney, Sir Paul McCartney, has achieved his life's ambition.
Become a singing tortoise.
He was in the last paper edition of the Dandy comic.
Absolutely shameful on the side of Dandy.
Why?
It is a tragedy that Dandy has now gone to become a digital Dandy magazine, but for it to lose all its style and beliefs and everything, to have the singing tortoise in its last edition is despicable. And if anybody can get any more D's in a sentence than that, get on with it.
And the last thing I want to run on to quickly, because I know what the answer is going to be. The best place for a new art newspaper has been found. It's launching on the iPad and the iPhone, meaning I will never be subjected to it because I have neither. And
that
I have
disgusting.
What?
I'll tell you what, the art newspaper is an absolutely terrific newspaper.
I knew that was going to happen.
And I have to say that I've never met anybody else who knows about who's read it, but it is extremely interesting and takes you, if you like, into a sort of side of the art world and art that people just don't see at all. I didn't know this news at all, and I'm going to download the app on my Android.
Fantastic. Oh. Can I back that up by saying that he's quite right, because any newspaper, right, that has the guts and the balls, to use that old euphemism, right, to actually use an editor called Anna Summer Cox.
Absolutely. Right, round the table we go to say goodbye. Say goodbye, Rachel.
Goodbye, Rachel.
Goodbye, Lee.
Goodbye, Lee.
Goodbye, Henry.
Goodbye from Bondi.
Goodbye, Mark.
Goodbye, everybody. I think it's been great fun, this programme.
Absolutely. And goodbye from Eric Wiltshire.
From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.